This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian, and with me today is...
Daryl.
Daryl, our lone patron, Daryl. See, if you guys donate on Patreon, you can be on the show. And not talk.
Donate on Patreon.
Daryl's so lonely as our lone patron now. Anyway, no, you guys know Daryl. He's been on several times.
I think it was Brightburn was the last one.
Brightburn was the last one, yeah. And today, since Johnny's on vacation, we are going to talk about The Expanse, because season four is forthcoming as an Amazon Prime exclusive.
December 13th.
And I thought we'd start off with a little talk about The Mandalorian. And then I want to talk about Titans, because we had a good conversation about that the other day, and I've gotten caught up on that, thanks to you. So, yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So... Mandalorian season or episodes 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, have been released since we last recorded and talked about it. What did you think of the pilot? First off,
pilot was good. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, and again, we've had a lot of talks about pilots. Pilot episodes always have something missing. It's just because you're trying to introduce the world and the characters. What I liked about The Mandalorian is it didn't try to do too much.
Yeah, it kept it small.
Right.
I typically feel like the pilot is the worst episode of a first season. I try never to judge a show by a pilot. Now, there are shows that the pilots are so bad that I just don't want to come back for more. But I try to give everything 3 episodes.
Right.
That being said, I think sequentially the episodes have gotten better. I think episode 2 is really interesting because we got to see the aftermath of his attack on the compound with the baby Yoda. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dave Filoni called it, because the race does not have a name.
Yeah,
yet.
The baby.
So there's 2 people who know what the race's name is.
George Lucas
and Dave Filoni, and maybe Jon Favreau. But, you know, at this point, they're not telling us a lot about this race still to this day. You know, there's Yoda, and then there was Yaddle in episode 2. So there's canon that there was a female of the species.
I forgot about her. Yeah.
So this baby could be their kid. It's 50 years old. That was around the time the Caminonians, the Camino cloners were cloning. So Yoda went to visit them. So maybe they grabbed some DNA while they were there. Which kind of begs the question, because like in the EU stuff, right, with the initial Thrawn trilogy, there was
That's so brilliant.
You know, when the Sabaoth was cloned and... You know, he was powerful in the Force, but not in control of the Force as much as like a Jedi of like what the stature that he was trying to perpetuate should be. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I loved the Mudhorn and Baby Yoda, like, you know, just Force lifting him up and just helping Mando out. That was kind of cool.
I was waiting for that because... Even though I had, again, I'm one of those that I don't look at spoilers. I don't read into anything as far as what might be or could be happening. I just like to be surprised. So there was that idea, again, maybe because it looks like Baby Yoda and the only 2 species were Jedis.
Right.
That I was expecting that.
Yeah.
And they did such a brilliant job just kind of giving these little glances toward Baby Yoda.
Well, I liked when he kept trying to like close the wound. And he's like going over there, and Mando keeps putting him back in the egg, and he's like trying to close it, and he puts him back in the egg. It was really funny, and like, but it didn't take away. And I think again, like, Pablo Pascal, right? No, was it Pedro Pascal?
Pedro.
Pedro. Sorry. Like has done like a great job emoting through body language, right? In a suit of armor, no less.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Episode 2 was really, really interesting. My favorite part of the episode when he was just vaporizing Jawas.
that, and it's funny, that was one of those scenes where I think I looked away for a second while I was watching it, and then he starts blasting people, and I'm thinking, why is he blasting the Jawas? And then it wasn't until he went down there, I said, oh, yeah, because they're stripping his ship apart.
Yeah, they're stranding him there. They're stealing his stuff.
But, I had just happened to look away for a minute or go into the kitchen, and then I see him blasting Jawas.
Yeah, you got to pause it, man, when you get up. Right. Like you can't just walk away from the show. One, the episodes are so short.
Which is one of the issues I have. Even though, I will say this, even though they're short, the way they're packed with, not necessarily like over packed with content, but just the narrative flows.
It's all killer, no filler.
Right.
Right? Now, I could deal with a little filler if it happened to be world building. Because we haven't gotten anything in the new canon like post Jedi really about like the fall of the Empire, right? And like they're running around like there's no more Empire, and it's like, if you really believe that, there's something like wrong with you.
Something that big does not just
like,
there's going to be warlords.
Yeah,
there's going to be Empire warlords fighting for control. And I believe in the EU they mentioned some of that stuff where these guys in the, I don't know if it's the Outer Realms or
they went to the Outer Rim, and this is where like Thrawn came into play and all that. And like in the current canon novels, there's like the Aftermath series that deals with the actual fall and the Battle of Jakku, and Brendel Hux and Phasma heading out to the outer regions to, you know, go through with the plan that the Emperor had set in place, that he had told Vice Admiral Ray Sloan and all of that. So, yeah, I'm a nerd. Darryl's looking at me like,
I was actually,
you just said a bunch of stuff.
Well, I was just waiting to say, Phasma actually does something.
Dude, in the books and the comics, Phasma's a fucking badass.
I started reading the Phasma. I haven't finished the book, but again, waste of character. But back to the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Like waste of character in the movie, I should say. Back, so episode 3, and one of the things, you know, I told a couple of my friends about, there's three of us watching it on this group chat I have, and there's that Western feel. And I was thinking about the theme. I said it has the Western theme, but there's also this kind of 1980s cop type thing, like some of the cop shows from the 80s. It has that, like, just the his theme. And I love the theme. I just
oh, you're talking about the score?
Yeah, the score, not necessarily the show's themes, but narrative theme, but the score. Actually, it has that. It's so well put together.
It has a little of the
right
to it, but then at the same time, you're right, it's got that like that little like bass beat, like,
right, the doom doom.
Yeah. No, I think the music is it's mostly good. There's a few times where it's like, oh, that was too much. Like, you just took me out of the scene with the music. And it's rare, but there's been, in every episode, there's been like a couple of those things. Episode 3 was the best episode.
Yes.
And we learned a lot without learning anything.
And there were some, I'm trying to think of where I saw it, but someone actually said, there is so much, they tell you so much stuff without telling you really anything. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing a lot of times shows do not do. They over-explain things.
They're showing, they're not telling.
Right.
And that goes into Dave Filoni's way of storytelling. That goes into Favreau's way of storytelling. Where if you look at like Lindelof over on Watchmen, which I think Watchmen is the most interesting show on TV right now.
I haven't watched it yet.
There's a lot of just telling me what's happening. There's not a lot of like showing, and that's that whole Lost format, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to tell you all this stuff, but we're not going to answer any of it. And we're not going to really show you what the story's about. We're going to tell you what it's about and allude to what it's about. But, you know, so, which is fine. I mean, I enjoy that. But at the same time, like, I like getting answers now and then. And the answers we got like this week in The Mandalorian were to questions we weren't even asking.
Right.
Right? That we didn't know we needed to ask. With the Mandalorians in particular.
I love that scene.
So, I will say, and I think I texted you this. I want like a little like YouTube channel spinoff of the Armorer just making Mandalorian armor.
Speaking of the Armorer, for Supernatural fans, that's, she's the one who played Amara.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
But I didn't, funny, I was on a site and I saw her with two other, I think it was Ming-Na and it was one of the other characters in, yeah. in The Mandalorian. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Is she? And then I looked it up and I said, oh, she's the armor. So
yeah, I'm excited to learn more about that. So I feel like they're doing a really good job kind of tying Star Wars together with what they did with the Mandalorians in this episode. And I don't want to spoil the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil too much of the episode, if at all possible. But I will say, this is going to really tie into the Clone Wars revival with the Fall of Mandalore, the Siege of Mandalore episodes, because the Empire, you know, takes over.
And that's one of the things, honestly, I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah. And so, that's where, the Beskar being, you know, the great whatever, Beskar heist, whatever they called it. There's all of that. I feel like, though, with this episode, there was a lot of fan service. Mandalorian-wise.
I was going to ask if this was for the Mandalorian.
And I think, if you're a Mandalorian merc, which is, the 501st, Rebel Legion, they're the Mandalorian costumer group. And they're awesome, by the way. At Celebration, they were probably my favorite group of costumers, because they're super rowdy. They live that Mandy, this is the way.
I love that.
And but it was really, really fan servicey, and it didn't bother me. But at the same time, it's like, okay, that was just the right amount. Let's not go overboard here.
And there was, I would say, something I would see from the MCU is mm-hmm. where Mando says, need to get me one of those.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, the whispering birds were interesting. The whole Beskar armor scene was really, I like that stuff. The tribalism of the Mandalorians is mm-hmm. still very much a thing. That's their thing. They're tribalized. The one big heavy Mandalorian. So that's Jon Favreau's voice.
Right.
My question is, was he stuffed into that armor or not? Because I imagined he would be. I couldn't find it. And I didn't look real hard.
Mm-hmm.
But that was totally him. That was his Pre Vizsla voice.
Right.
So I don't know if he just did VO for it, but it's nice.
I did hear, and again, this wasn't looked up, but in the that Mandalorian was mentioned as Par Vizsla or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, but that scene, one of the things I like about, and again, this is the whole showing mm-hmm. and not telling, is how on two occasions he's gone to the armor
mm-hmm.
watching things, and you get pieces of his past broken up.
And I love how they went out of the way to show he wasn't Boba Fett.
Right.
I feel like.
I think that would have been a disservice.
Other showrunners, Damon Lindelof, would have probably led people on to think, oh, this might be Boba Fett, this might not be Boba Fett.
Right.
They just, in the first episode, they're like, nope.
Right.
So.
Which, I like.
I love it, too.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I do have one question for you. The thing with Apollo Creed there near the end.
Mm-hmm.
Was it an intentional placement, or was it happenstance?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I think it was intentional, and I'll tell you why off mic, but...
That's interesting. Yeah, I'll have to think about that now.
So, and I'll tell you why I think that off mic. But anyway. All right, so that's Star Wars in a minute. Titans. So we have traded... streaming network passwords in the 21st century, and I've gotten caught up on Titans, which I was leery about Titans at first. I've been pretty vocal about that. I like the second half of the first season much more than the first half of the first season.
Absolutely.
I've liked the first half of this season much more than I've liked the second half of this season. I called you after I watched the episode yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday. And said, how was that the penultimate episode?
And what I said is, and when in our conversation, one of the things we came across, or came, the conclusion we came to is, as individual episodes this season, there was one episode, and don't remember right now, that I didn't like at all. But for the most part, these have been decent to really good episodes. However, with that being said, as an overall arc pertaining to an entire season, this is a case where the individual parts are going to be better than the whole, mm-hmm. just from the narrative perspective. Because what happened in this last episode, there's some good stuff, but there's way too much. There are way too many story elements to be completed in the finale. They just can't do it. And right. and one of the biggest issues, and I think we both agreed on this one, was including Cadmus as a major storyline in the back half of this season.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
it was not necessary.
There's zero need for Cadmus in any of this season other than like the underlying villain.
Right.
Right? Like setting them up for season 3. Like one of the things that Whedon actually did well when he was doing Buffy and Greenwald did well with Angel was setting up like what further big bads were going to be down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And the Berlanti crew, which they don't do a good job at this on Arrow or The Flash either. They just throw everything in a bowl, mix it up, and dump it out on the table.
And that's been my issue with The Flash as well. So, and Arrow, like so. You said, is that they do. And again, these shows, a lot of times it's a lot of fan service. I get that. However, you can do fan service without, again, throwing the kitchen sink at everything. And that's what they tend to do.
I have zero issue with fan service. I think fan service allows the casual fan to feel more in touch with, you know, the more hardcore fans.
Absolutely.
And I think the hardcore fans then feel gratified in the effort that they've put in to read or consume other versions of the IP.
Right. Oh, I have. And again, it's one of those things where I don't have any problem with that. I actually enjoy that. One of the things I enjoyed, one of my favorite things about Avengers Endgame, there was tons of fan service for the comics as well as for the entire MCU as a whole.
I mean, for the 5 seasons of its run, I think Supernatural did a good job with that.
It's 15 seasons.
But. 5. Anywho. It ended at 5. I don't know what the other 10 years have been, but it was 5 seasons of Supernatural. Anyway, I'm a little disappointed that Nightwing is going to get his name based off of the Corto Maltese guy's bird that they drew in the prison cell. I did really enjoy the scene with Dick going to the
Adeline's and
the shoe store. To get his
and oh,
the
guy with Stu and Lily.
Yeah, Stu, yes. Yeah, thank you. And Stu busts out the fruitcake and sets it on fire. Like,
dude,
dude, they were so mad that he burned the Robin costume. So mad. And he's like, I had a bad day.
Fruitcakes are my life.
Yeah, fruitcakes are my life now. I no longer make shoes. And then, oh, by the way, Master Wayne said you'd be coming, and here are the specifications of the costume he wants you to have. I really like Britain. That's his name, right? Britain?
Who plays
Dick? I like him as Dick Grayson. We were talking, the kid that plays Beast Boy had really campaigned to be Tim Drake at one point in a movie or a TV show or whatever. I don't necessarily like him as Gar, but I also don't necessarily like Gar as a character, especially since he's not Beast Boy, he's Tiger Boy.
And maybe
dude, turn into something else.
Right.
Like, you have budget. Turn into something else.
Yeah, and I actually, again, I think one of the things I said is that I am not I'm not like you in the sense of I didn't follow Titans. I didn't even, you know, watch The Outsider or any of the comics or anything like that. So, yeah, I'm what, you know, I've heard a normie basically in this regard. I actually really enjoy him, the actor, just because he brings such
really
an
like
energy.
I like the actor. I just
so as far as, you know, if it's true to the character, that's one of those things I actually can't really touch on.
Yeah.
But as far as a character. Now, with that being said, and again, this is part of the conversation we had yesterday. Corey and Rachel are just basically useless this season.
They're both great characters. And they're wasted.
I actually thought they were going to do something, especially after the second half of last season.
Yeah.
how they were. I thought I was kind of excited for how they were going to handle both of them. Mm-hmm. And they've, it's pretty much, and let's be honest, Donna hasn't had much to do either.
Yeah, I don't really consider Donna like a main part of the cast or anything.
Well, and again, she came, what, midway through last season?
Yeah.
So it's not like she was there from the beginning.
Right.
Rachel, Corey, they both have been there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I've been really disappointed in how they've handled both of those characters.
Yeah. No, I think they haven't done the ladies a lot of service.
The one character I've actually really enjoyed is Alan Rickson's Hank.
Yeah.
Especially this episode was one of those where, like, his arc in this episode was actually the heart to me of the show, in the sense of where he was and then where he has to figure out where he wants to be.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty funny, him in a fight club.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, making money.
Right, right.
You know, hooking up with superhero vigilante groupies.
Yeah, right.
This is sore.
And then he falls asleep.
Yeah, and then ends up finding out he sells his suit
right
to a kid for what, $200 or
something? $200 for the suit, yeah. So again, that's like kind of what we were talking about. Like if that would have been the B story to the A story of Slade and Rose, and like I feel like that should have been the A story in this episode. Like a little more about Rose, and like what her intentions are leading into the last episode. Still kind of ambiguous about which side she's going to fall on. We both are a big fan of the Jason Todd character on this show.
I love him. Kern Walters.
Yeah.
He's so good.
But I will say I've been pleasantly surprised about how much I've enjoyed the show. After seeing the previews and the initial...
First trailer,
yeah, it was awful.
It did not do this show any justice. It actually put it behind the eight ball, honestly,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. So they've done a really good job of kind of fixing that. But you know, it's a decent show. I'm excited to see where it goes. It's coming back for season three, so that's cool.
Right, and I will say, Isai Morales has been pretty good as Slate Wilson.
I love Isai Morales in just about everything he does. So
I still when I think of Slade Wilson, when I think of Deathstroke, Manu Bennett from Arrow season two, I still love. And again, part of that was we got a lot more of his character.
Yeah,
from because he was in starting season one,
mm-hmm.
So that could be part of it. But Isai Morales has done a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
in that role. Because he carries a menace about him.
He plays the cool menace, like you said.
Right.
Way better than Manu Bennett does. Manu Bennett is Crixus.
Right.
Right? Like, he's like, all rage.
That was, right.
And, you know, like, Rage B Slade is one thing, but that's not really who Slade is either. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the Young Justice cartoon did a great job with Deathstroke. The first Teen Titans cartoon, mm-hmm. where he was just Slade, did a great job with him, with Ron Perlman as the voice.
Was a perfect,
really
voice
cool. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So definitely check that stuff out. Like, you know, if you're not watching The Mandalorian, you probably fast forwarded and, you know, whatever. Disney Plus is $70 for a year. It's totally mm-hmm. worth it. Or it's been hacked. You can probably go find like somebody's password for $3 on the dark web. Anyway, and then the DCU one, I think wait until next Friday morning if you haven't done it yet, and just do a 1 week trial and watch the first two seasons of Titans. There's a lot of stuff on there. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time getting through Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I'm still only halfway through Doom Patrol. It has good moments, but there's something about it that it just feels disjointed, I would call it.
I keep, like, I think I'm on, like, episode 8 of that. I've been, like, slowly watching.
I'm on 5 or 6.
Yeah, and I keep going, like, oh, there's still, like, 5 more episodes. I can't do 5 more episodes of this.
As far as weird superhero team-ups, Doom Patrol is, they should take... kind of, you know, take notes on see how Umbrella Academy.
That's what I was about to say. It's a less fun version of an Umbrella Academy.
Absolutely.
So, but it has a great cast.
Yeah, it really does.
Right? So
I just don't know what it's like, just not clicking for me quite.
Yeah. So anyway. All right, let's talk about The Expanse.
Love this show.
So Dave, my buddy David, from IGN, David Griffin. What's up, David? Had been trying to get me to watch this show for years. You had been trying to get me to watch this show for years. And then the first season hit Amazon and I binged it like really fast. And I was like, dude, this show. And then it got canceled. And I was like, ugh, I'm not even going to bother. I'm not even going to bother going back. Like, I don't want to watch the second season and then get to the third season and it ends on some bullshit cliffhanger, right? So then Amazon saved it. And I was like, ugh. Okay, like I need to finish it. So I think it was like maybe a couple months ago, I finally just started over, and now I've since I've watched it and then rewatched it a second time, which I just finished the other day because you're doing the one episode
a day, right?
Which is really hard to do. Like
it really is,
because I did it for the first 2 days, and I was like, nah, I've gotta just keep watching.
What I've been doing is later on in the evening I'll watch it.
Okay,
and that'll force me to. Because if I watch it during the day, actually there was one day I missed, so I actually had to watch two episodes the next day, which was awesome.
Yeah, right. yeah. So, I mean, this is a hot take.
Okay.
This is a better space politics show than Battlestar Galactica.
It's funny you were saying that because this morning when I was getting ready, I was thinking about us being on here, and I said the exact same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Like, I love BSG. Like, from beginning to end. Like, the movies, I liked Caprica. Like, you know, I'm a BSG apologist.
And you were the one that got me into BSG, right. which is kind of funny.
And I freaking love this show. Like, I am so stoked for it to come back. I've been doing the audiobooks. I'm about 3/4 of the way through book 3 right now. So, like, I'll be caught up like book wise to series wise by the 13th with no problem. And then I'll probably wait until this, like I binge through the season to read book or listen to book 4. But yeah, it's, so if you don't know, it's essentially based on the James S.A. Corey novels,
which are two guys.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I don't remember their names, but they, okay. Yeah, they co-write.
All right. That's awesome. Great. That's why they get done. And there's like 9 books. So it's in the future, like kind of a not near future, but like,
probably
it's a couple hundred like years.
A few hundred years in the future.
And humanity has colonized the solar system. They're on Mars. They're trying to terraform Mars. But Mars is very militaristic at the same time. There's the belt, the asteroid belt. And there's people there called Belters, and they're like kind of the working class of the galaxy. And then there's more stuff out on like Venus and Neptune and like
the moons,
any direction of Earth,
right.
On the moons and stuff where, you know, they're doing like science experiments and whatnot.
And there's always this almost Cold War type tension between Earth and Mars.
Yeah.
And it's something that it's kind of, and the belt. And again, like you said, they're the working class, the lower class in a lot of ways. They're the forgotten people.
But they're so the word is thirsty to be like taken seriously at the same time. But they don't help themselves ever. They're very reactionary people, but at the same time, they're very pragmatic people. Mm-hmm. Like one of the funny things at the point I just was at in the book, Tilly was walking around the station smoking, and she's like, these people are so, these Belters are so obsessed about their air filters and clean air, yet they walk around and like blow poisonous gas into their filters. Like, I love them. These are my people. Like, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's like, it's like kind of the tale of, and this is with the Earth and the Earthling and the Martians as well. It's the tale of like two sides of what people do. Like, mm-hmm. At one point, they're like, you know, the Belters are very much about conservation and
right.
Recycling, and then,
because you have to be when you're out that far away from everything, you have no planet with an atmosphere.
Yeah. But then they waste so much too, and they're, you know, and like the Martians, like they want to terraform Mars. The goal is to have an atmosphere on Mars, yet they can't not be pissed off at Earth.
And in that regard, a lot of their budget, like they put a lot of spending into their R&D and military research, which, and again, there was an episode, couple episodes ago in season two where Bobby says that when she's talking to, I believe, the commander of the ship, where, you know, they've put their terraforming 50 years back off just, you know, to kind of keep up and make sure they're kept up with Earth and everything.
And then at Earth, there's like 20 billion people on Earth now.
Right.
And like, you know, the perception of Earth is everyone's on basic income.
Right.
And that's not true. I mean, there are people on basic income, but there's people like, if you go to college, you have to go like do like an internship or thing for a year before like you're even allowed to go to college because it's, you know, on the government dime. But then you get a job and you get basic, but then you get extra income and, you know, you work. And you know, we get an episode like where Bobby in the second season, like, she's a Martian Marine and she goes out on Earth and she meets Earthlings and she's like, oh, like, this is nothing like what I thought.
Right.
So, yeah, I it's funny because the changes, there's a lot of changes from the books to the show.
Right.
And I really like the changes that they
and you'll
made.
Probably be able to talk to those more because I read the books like where you're
a
at
a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I was on book three or four before season one even started.
So I don't want to spoil a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. But I will say, like, there's characters that have been morphed into other characters, like like Carol Gee's character, Fred Johnson's number two, the badass woman.
I love her.
Like, she's awesome. So she's kind of an amalgam of three characters,
right?
Which is great.
And you see that a lot where with books do they do that from when they take a book and then put it into a show or a movie. You see that a lot.
And then like Bobby, I feel, has a much more expanded role in the show. Because she's not in season, she's in season three a little bit. Mm-hmm. I will say one weird thing. So book one is season one.
Right, for the most part, yeah.
Book two is season two and then the first half of season three. Yeah. And then they rushed through season three
and,
or book three
right, okay.
in the second half of season three.
And remember, Christian Azvarala.
Yeah.
Azvarala, I believe that's how.
Avasarala.
Yeah,
Christian Avasarala.
Okay, she actually wasn't in book one.
No.
So, but they what her character?
And she's not in book three.
Yeah, and so her character was so vital. I like how they kind of not twisted, but they kind of engineered stuff around finding a way, because one of the things that does is it brings that political aspect, and she's kind of the. As an audience member watching the series, she's that, for the political aspect of Mars, she's us.
Yeah. So it's funny there. So much like Game of Thrones, the book is done point of view.
Right.
Chapter by chapter.
Yep.
And it's usually four or five characters
per
book. The main character, hands down, is Jim Holden, who is played by Steve Strait. I think that's how you say his last name.
Right.
Who was War and Peace. In Sky High.
I love that movie, man.
Right?
Yeah.
It's on Disney Plus. I'm so happy. It was the first thing I added to my watch list. So, like, I'm super stoked. Dude, he's jacked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like, it's impressive how jacked he is.
Right, because he was actually, the episode last night I was watching, he was sending the message to his mom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was just kind of leaning over and he's just like a regular guy. And then he stood up and it's just like, okay.
Well, like, The scene with like him and the one, well, the opening scene with him and Kristen Luger, the werewolf from
Being Human.
Right.
Ade.
Where,
yeah, she was Ade.
Yeah, Ade. Where they're doing the zero G sex. Like, it's like, dude, he's jacked.
Yeah.
And she's, oh my God, she's so hot. I wish she was in more stuff.
I
like her in everything she's in. Like, I loved her as the werewolf in Being Human.
That's another show I need to go back and rewatch. I love that show.
Sci-fi Being Human, better than the BBC version of Being Human.
I started watching the BBC version. I only got through one episode.
The BBC version, the guy who was the vampire should have been the werewolf.
Like,
one, he's way too hairy to be a vampire. Two, he wasn't
the one, the hobbit?
He was a hobbit.
He was a handsome hobbit.
Someone else should have been the vampire. And then the girl that was the ghost was fine. But yeah, but also I liked one.
Sam Witwer.
It had the Sams.
Sam Witwer, Sam
Huntington. I love both Sams. And then Megan Rath was great. But that's not what we're talking about. That's another episode. Dude, I could talk about Being Human for weeks. I love that show. Anyway, so it's James Holden. Jim Holden is the captain of, well, it opens. We haven't even really discussed like what this, how the show opened, right?
Right.
So, all right, let's jump back to the beginning. So the show opens with this ice hauler called the Canterbury. And basically what happens is the ships go out, they mine for ice on Europa.
Right.
And in the you know, Jupiter orbit, the moons, and they haul ice back to the belt, to Ceres, to Ganymede, there's a bunch of different Tycho. And so what happens is the Cant has ice, they're coming back. We meet some of the crew, we learn a little bit about the world. And then the crew comes across a ship that has its distress beacon going. And kind of the rule of thumb is if you hear a distress beacon, you have to stop.
Right.
You have to. But the unwritten rule is if you're doing something more important, just keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
And so the Canterbury, the captain decides, no, we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. And Holden, being the do-gooder that he is, and dealing with Ade, his girlfriend, like, you know, whatever, his hookup, he decides to actually log the call, so they have to do it. And they go, and, you know, it's a trap, you know.
A trap.
Thank you. And the Canterbury ends up getting destroyed. And it's this really cool scene. Holden is off the Canterbury at the time investigating the, that's not the Sinambulist, what was it, it started with an S, anyway, they're investigating this distressed ship, and
oh, the Scopulis,
thank you. So many S names on this show. So they get there and they realize, oh crap, this is a trap. They call back to the Cant. This stealth ship shows up from out of nowhere and launches nukes at it and just destroys it.
It's vaporized.
Right. And so they're in a shuttle. It's Holden. It's Naomi Nagata, who is a Belter engineer who
is pretty much a genius.
She's a genius. She's super hot.
Dominic Tipper.
Dominic Tipper is so hot. I love her hair.
I love the hair.
Like, well, I love everything about her. Let's just be let's
honestly,
be honest.
I saw the hair or how she has it in season 4.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's kind of like your hair now.
Yeah, it is actually.
She's still smoking hot.
Yeah, I love her.
You have Alex Kamal, who was a Martian pilot on the Canterbury, played by Kaz Anvar.
Yeah.
Who is great. And then you have Amos Burton, who is played by Wes Chatham, who is an Earth mechanic, on the Canterbury, and he does whatever Naomi tells him,
right?
Like whatever.
He's pretty much a sociopath.
He is. So, and we, as you learn more about him, though, you kind of understand
there is actually, again, we were talking about the books. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of novellas, yeah, and short stories, and there's one called The Churn. I don't know if you remember, he talks about the churn.
So
you get a lot of. You get his backstory, which is really interesting.
They're the main characters. They're also initially joined by Shed Garvey, who's played on the show by Paolo Costanzo from Road Trip, who is the medic who lied about having a medical license. He was just a pothead or just a drug addict. But he's their medic, which is really, really funny. This is where we start, and this is for the show, at least, the focal point. And then I feel like the B story is Thomas Jane's character, Josephus Miller, Joe Miller, who is a cop on Ceres Station, who gets assigned a case to track down a missing girl, kidnap her, and give her back to her rich father. And her name is Julie Mao, and she's kind of the MacGuffin for the whole first season.
Right. Yeah, she is.
And again, I don't really want to spoil too much, but there's a thing called the proto molecule, we'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. That in the first season becomes an issue, and in the second and third, first half of the third, well, actually, and from the second season on, becomes the MacGuffin, mm-hmm, of the story. So Yeah, I don't know. I think, oh, so then Holden and his crew are chasing down this ship. They get picked up by the Martians because Holden sends out a message blaming the Martians.
Well, he sends out the message because he thinks they're going to be killed. Right. So he said, oh, okay, you know what? If that's going to happen, I'm going to blast your business.
So Holden, like, this is a recurring theme for him. He shouldn't be allowed to do public broadcasts. but yeah, so he blames the Martians for it because the transponder they find that was the fake distress signal is Martian made, which leads into a much bigger conspiracy, and that's where Christian Avasarala comes into play. You had me all messed up there when you said it wrong. So while they're on the Doninger, appropriately called the Donnie, the ship comes back, and the Doninger is like the Martian warship.
It's their flag. It's the like, Martian flagship.
It's like the Enterprise D of the Martian, you know, Navy, and or Starfleet or whatever. It's the Martian Navy, but you know, right. And this stealth ship comes back and like,
with some friends. There was actually, I think there was probably there like a half a dozen of them.
So anyway, and they take a couple of them out because the Martians are badass military people. But so as the captain is like helping them escape, and you know, they have people helping them get off, and they end up on a ship called the Tachi, which is
it's a
gunship. It's a torpedo boat is actually what they call it in the book. And they rename it the Rocinante because it's legitimate salvage, which is just a hilarious, just reoccurring joke. Anytime they come across something like, oh, you're in a stolen Martian gunship, one of them is like legitimate salvage. it was Karaji, not Karaji. It's funny because there's a great mix of excitement. There's a great mix of interpersonality. I'm going to say disorder with the characters.
Well, if you look at, and again, one of the things when you're talking about the Canterbury is honestly, I look at it as a land for lost toys. You look at Naomi, she's running from something. Holden's running for something. Alex,
Alex is running.
Yeah. So even the captain on that ship, remember the captain was, the XO.
That was
XO.
Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yes, it was.
And the captain, he's a little weird too, because he's got his glass cat figurines and stuff. But as the series goes, the scope of the story grows, which is really cool. Because like a lot of times, they'll like a show, like these space shows, like, they'll throw a whole universe at you, and then they'll shrink it down. And they've slowly, and the books do this too. They've done a really good job of like, okay, this is our universe. Now something happens and the scope of the story needs to grow. Now this is our universe.
Right.
And then it has to grow. Now this is our universe. And then now with like the dawning of the fourth season and into the fourth book, this is our universe.
They do a very good job of again, keeping that scope. And it was funny because we were talking about how Titan season 2 made this scope too big for it to end properly to me.
Well, the Titans made it too big for the world that we live in.
Right.
So like,
From a narrative perspective,
like we never have, like we have episodes without Avasarala,
and which is fine,
right? Yeah. We have, but we don't ever have an episode without James Holden,
right?
We've had plenty of episodes where like Dick Grayson was hardly in the episode, right?
Well, even this one, he was in it for two scenes.
Yeah, he shows up at the he does cameos. He's the star of the show,
right?
You know, we never don't have Naomi, even like in the show they split. She leaves the Rocinante in season 3, in the second half of season 3. In the book, she never does.
Not
where I am.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so you know, but we still got her as a point of view, even though she's not a point of view character in the book.
Right.
We still get her as she was our intro.
So she doesn't just disappear.
She was our focus into what was happening on the ship she was on at the time.
Right.
So I really appreciate how they're doing this. And I think like I've seen people like, you know, I freaking love the subreddit for this show.
Oh, I do too.
It's great. It's r/TheExpanse. If you want to learn more or just kind of get into it, tons of great artwork that's shared.
Oh man,
I keep sharing stuff with you. Right, like, you know.
So one of those the subreddits I follow, and I love.
So Reddit watching. Has kind of replaced Twitter as like I wake up the first thing I look at.
Me too.
But yeah, so I think it's a political drama. It's got space battles. They still use bullets, which is funny.
They explain yeah. a little bit better in the books, like with they're kind of like those, like their railgun, the rounds are different.
Yeah. Well, the railgun just shoots chunks of tungsten.
Oh, that's what yeah. I'm thinking of.
So, so there was an actual a study done that missiles should all be made out of tungsten because it's so much stronger that like it can go, like a bunker buster that's made out of tungsten can right. go like way deeper into the earth. And like it's like wow, like the things that they do, like their version of space travel, like which we were talking about with Sam Huntington and right. in the Epstein Drive. Essentially what this guy did was he inadvertently invented the way to go from planet to planet much faster, and died in the process of doing it, but left the plans for his
drive Epstein behind. Drive to the wife.
And so like the science is cool. Like mm-hmm. they don't go light speed. There's no warp speed, mm-hmm. you know.
And there's a physical cost for going that fast.
There is. And you know, I think Alex is totally addicted to the juice.
Here comes the juice.
Here comes the juice. That should be the name of the episode. But yeah, the show is so much fun.
And the set design is
yeah, right? And like, it's amazing. Sets. So do you remember Space Above and Beyond?
Yeah, that's a nice callback right
I
there.
Love Space Above and Beyond. This show reminds me, like I had thought maybe Battlestar Galactica was the heir apparent to Space Above and Beyond. Mm-hmm. And I feel maybe not the heir apparent. That's not the right phrase because that oversells how popular that show was. It is the spiritual successor.
That's a good.
So this is the spiritual successor to Space Above and Beyond. Without aliens,
right?
Yet, that we know of. So, yeah, I think this is cast great. Like I said, Kara Gee, she plays Kamina Drummer, who is the mix of several characters. Chad L. Coleman, who plays Fred Johnson. So Chad L. Coleman, if that name sounds familiar, was Cuddy on The Wire.
And what was his character in Walking Dead?
Oh, he played start with a T.
Yeah, I was thinking it's a T.
Anyway, it's not Tyrone, was it Tyrone?
No.
Anyway, but he's Cuddy from The Wire.
Right. I just started watching again All American on CW, and he's the main cool. character's father in that.
Okay, cool. So it's got Nick Tarabe, who was on Spartacus. He was what's his name? It's what he's like most known for. Asher.
Ah, okay, yeah.
He was
he actually just came in.
He was just in for a little bit, but he shows up, that made me happy. Elizabeth Mitchell shows up from mm-hmm. Lost. Amongst other things. Jared Harris plays Anderson
Dawes.
David Strahan is Ashford, you know. And Ashford's a totally different character in the book versus the show, right. which is cool. But yeah, I mean, like, there's so many. Jay Hernandez is in the first season.
Yeah.
I freaking love Jay Hernandez.
Yeah.
He was the best part of Suicide Squad. I've been saying that for years.
Oh, absolutely. He was.
But yeah, I mean, like, and it's a lot of, like, oh, that guy actors that are in this that you see. I will say Frankie Adams, who plays Bobby Draper, who's a Marine, a gunnery sergeant in the Marines, mm-hmm. Or the Martian Marines. Her addition to the show was freaking awesome.
Right.
And it looks like she's going to be a part of the crew going into season 4, which makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm. I love her character. And again, because I'm like all caught up on the book. So there are things that I don't want to spoil for you as far as in the books. But I remember when season 2 was coming and people were talking about this character and how important it was to get the right person to just completely epitomize what who Bobby Draper is.
Right.
And she did a great job in this.
So in the book, right, she's Martian of Samoan descent.
Right.
So she's like Martians are taller and bigger than Earthlings because of the lower gravity.
Right. Just like Belters are.
And well, Belters are taller and thinner.
And their bones are.
So and it's funny, like I forget what the Earthers are called, but the Martians are called Dusters as their
the slang.
I'm trying to think of like the version of N-word.
Well, it's,
but like I don't think it's that. Like it's not
because they
that
call
heavy,
themselves
but,
Dusters
yeah.
sometimes.
But so like, you know, there's Dusters and then the Belters are called Skinnies.
Right. Now that
and,
yeah, that would be the like the
and like the Dusters or the Dusters the Belters call them all Wellwallas.
Right.
Wellwallers. I like their little slang. I kind of want to learn that language a little more, just to like. Throw that into everyday conversation to mess right. with people. But so Frankie Adams is New Zealand Samoan descent actress and she was a boxer.
Oh, really?
So yeah. She has a physicality to her that while she's not as like big, it's like Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't have
the
size, but he had the
physicality
that it had. And so that worked for her. She's beautiful.
I love
her.
She, like, I saw her in, I think it was the Mortal Engines, which again.
Oh God, that's the only other thing she's been.
Yeah,
in.
don't.
She's been.
She was
in
a soap. Like I think
she was on Wentworth for two episodes, and she was on 278 episodes of Shortland Street.
Right, that's the one.
Between 2000, yeah, that's a soap. 2010 to 2015, 270 episodes. Soap opera. She was in a movie called A Thousand Ropes, and then Mortal Engines. And Mortal Engines is bad. I couldn't even get halfway through it.
I rented it for 99 cents, and I'm still upset.
Yeah, well, I watched it on HBO and almost canceled my HBO Now subscription.
But one of the best things about this show, or to me, is just watching the camaraderie between the crew of the Rossi.
Well, it's the family
that
is the Rossi. It's not even like they're not even a crew; they're a family,
right?
And they have their ups and downs like a family.
How much do I love Amos? Like,
dude,
like when him and Jim Holden,
yeah.
they were out, you know, doing something on the ship, and Amos said, "Well, you know what? Like right now, I can't think of a reason why I shouldn't just rip your helmet off and then throw you out into space,
right?
Except that Naomi wouldn't like it,
right?
And that kind of sums up Amos,
yeah. But at the same time, like with Prax going for like helping find his kid,
right?
Like he was very much about like we're gonna find your kid,
right?
And." Yeah, you know, and then like became like he's like later on when he's talking about him, it's like he's my best friend.
Yeah,
and it's like oh, that's freaking on like because he got really close to
him. And there are some things about Amos again that like when you read more into the books, and that's one of the things I appreciate it is because you know, like I said, the guy is you know sociopathic and if somebody needs killing or if he thinks somebody he won't hesitate.
No,
but there's a side to him. And I'm glad because I've kind of, you know, I haven't gotten back to that point with Prax, you know, and that whole search for his daughter shows that other side of him. And it kind of, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody has layers, you know, he has this massive layer of just,
he's Shrek. He's an onion.
Yeah.
He has many layers. But yeah, no. And I've been a big fan of Wes Chatham since he was on the unit. You know, he was in The Help. If that name sounds familiar, he was in Hunger Games, Mockingjay 1 and 2,
and
as Caster.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was actually in the military.
Yeah, he was,
and he got, and it was one of those things by happenstance, whether it was a commercial or an extra while they were filming on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody saw him and said, "Oh, you would be perfect for this extra role," something along those lines.
So,
and,
like he did. That was for Sleeper Cell.
Okay.
So he played a frat boy. He was on Barbershop for 10 episodes. He did, like, you know, he's just on a, he's done a bunch of, like, stuff, right? And then, like, he was in Escape Plan 2. I don't know if you saw that one or not.
I haven't seen the
first one.
I don't
think that one's really worth watching. The first one's interesting. Stallone and Schwarzenegger together. That's always fun. But, yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, I enjoy when he shows up in things because he plays he can play different parts of the same character,
right?
But he's not typecast. Like, the character he was in The Unit was not a psychopath. Mm-hmm. He was awesome,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, very much like in line with like who Sam McBride should have been. And he was only in 8 episodes for the last season.
Mm-hmm. And I never saw the last season.
And it just resonated with me more than, you know, any of the other characters, really, like, you know, coming out of it, other than President Palmer.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that show, because, you know, I enjoyed it, but yeah. I need to go back.
You know, Serrano was on there, mm-hmm. and, you know, Dennis Haspert.
Wintergreen is in there.
What?
Wintergreen.
Yeah, TV Scott Foley. you know, I mean, like, looking at it, like, it was a crazy cast. You have Max Martini, like, he shows up in everything.
Everything.
Robert Patrick, who is kind of a that guy actor now. Michael Urbe, who was really good. But yeah, it's just one of the, it's like they have these, they essentially have, kind of like the Canterbury, taken this like cast of misfit toys who have done a bunch of stuff, but like not a lot. And really kind of turn them into something cool. Like, Kaz Anvar was in The Terminal. He was in Source Code. He was in Argo as a bit part. He was in Room. He was Ra's al Ghul in Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Highly underrated, by the way. Definitely worth watching.
Is that on DC Universe?
It's on the DC Universe.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no. I don't know if it is yet. I bought it. It was $4.99 on iTunes. I bought it. But like for TV, he was in Lost. He was like, it looks like he just did one episode for Lost, but he was on The Strain for 10 episodes on FX. So yeah, he did. He was in an episode of Star Trek Continues, the YouTube Star
Trek series. Oh, I never watched that. I never saw that.
That was pretty good. He's done voice work in Halo, Call of Duty, and Assassin's Creed games. So yeah, I mean, like, you look at that, and then you look at Dominique Tipper, who, I mean, she hasn't done a lot, like, in the U.S. She was on Vampire Academy, The Expanse. She's in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You know, I mean, so she's had little parts, but, like, here, like, you know, she's got, like, this huge part in The Expanse, and she just crushes. I mean, look at that picture.
She's amazing.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely needs to always have the mohawk, but, like, I don't, like, you know, I mean, so.
Yeah, right. And
I'm fanning myself. Like,
and I know you talked about this earlier, and I know, you know, we're kind of coming towards the end,
yeah.
that final run, is that when you were talking about the tribes.
Yeah.
And how Earth, Mars, and the Belt, they're their own tribes. And probably one of my favorite lines, and part of it is because I just saw it the other day,
yeah.
is, you know, Holden has this idealism to him that, you know, he, again, one of the reasons he went to the Cant is because he kind of, like, he just couldn't find his place in things.
So he was dishonorably discharged from the Earth, the UN Navy.
Right.
So Earth is one people. And it's because he threw a punch at a superior officer and missed and broke his hand on a wall,
yeah.
which is the metaphor for his life.
Right.
So his backstory is really interesting.
He has 8 parents.
He has 8 parents, and he's a genetic mix of all of them.
Which is
really neat to think about. And basically what they did is all 8 of his parents got together and had a polyamorous marriage, but they were not polyamorous, like,
yeah.
as a group. Like, 2 of his dads were gay, like, were yeah. a couple. The one mom who carried him wasn't with any of the men
right.
or anything like that. So it was really interesting. And then it was also that they could have like 80 acres in Montana.
Right.
Right. Because they got together and, like, well, land is the most important thing.
Yeah. When you have, like, 20 billion people.
Mm-hmm. And so they have a huge amount of it.
Right. But so what I wanted to say about him and the whole tribe thing. And mm-hmm. this is actually one of those things that rings till today, in the sense of, you get, you know, when you get online, you hear, you know, whether it's political stuff, whatever, people are in their tribes and they don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
And one of the things Holton talks, when they're talking about getting the protomolecule sample, he doesn't want anybody to have it because
right.
he doesn't trust anybody.
Right.
Which is, he's absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the Chad L. Coleman's character? Fred Johnson.
Fred Johnson.
Yeah. You know, he's talking to Fred Johnson and about tribes and stuff. And he's like, there shouldn't be any tribes.
Right.
It should just be, we're just people.
We're just people. We're all human.
And then Fred Johnson kind of looks at him kind of like almost sad, like, right. You know, because of his idealism. He's like, you know, that, you know.
He just wants that pat holding on the head. It's like, that's cute, kid.
Yeah, if only that were true or something like that, where it's like, you know, that's not reality. That's never going to be reality. And,
right.
But that just kind of shows, like, Holden is just, like, a really good guy. Mm-hmm. And he tries to do what's right. And, I mean, that's why he's the captain, because, you know, they see that, you know, even though he's not, he doesn't always have the chill, as far as, like you said, as far as making a public
statement. He has no chill.
Yeah.
And, you know, they chose him, like the Alex and Amos and Naomi chose him. And there was a point where Naomi had to act like the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, nope, this, you have it back. I'm not the captain. You are the captain. I'm not the captain. You are the captain. Because he's like, he doesn't want to be the captain.
Right.
Like, and that's the beauty of the character. Like, he doesn't see, he's not interested in having power, yet he's one of the most influential people in the galaxy.
And to be honest, those are the people that I want to have power.
Right.
It's because it, and again, it's going back to Gladiator.
Yeah.
Is when Marcus Aurelius told Maximus, he's like, will you accept the honor of becoming the next emperor of Rome? And he's like, with all of my heart, no.
Yeah, and he says, that's why you'll be great at it.
That's why it must be you. It's because of that. And but, I think we're Christian. I'm just going to call her Christian.
Christian. Yeah, Avasarla.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's what you said. And she's another one that, like, she can be ruthless, but she's doing it.
Oh, she's the most ruthless character on the show.
But again, she's not doing it for her own sake.
No, she is at the expense of her family and her own safety. And initially, she's just out for Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realizes what's happening and she's like, no, we have to protect all of humanity.
Right.
Which is a really important distinction there. One interesting thing about her son died. And in the book, he died in a skiing accident. And in the show, he was a Marine.
Right.
And she forced him to be a Marine.
Which?
Before she'd pay for him to go to college.
Yeah.
I much prefer the show version of that.
I absolutely prefer the show version.
It's a much stronger backstory for her. Rather than like, oh, I lost my son when he was 15 to a skiing accident.
It gives her a cloud over her head, like that guilt of, what would have happened if I would have just paid for his college? And
right. But she also then thinks about sending people into battle.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sending other people's kids. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is...
I love this show.
It's so good. Like, if you guys aren't watching this, please, please, please watch it. I know we've been kind of all over the place because we're just both so excited about the fourth season coming up. But yeah, this is well worth your time. I mean, episodes are about 50 minutes long. There's only 36 episodes. Oh, so about 44 minutes long. There's only 36 episodes right now, so you can get caught up really fast. It's Amazon Prime exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So you all, like, I don't know anyone who doesn't have Amazon Prime, right? But I don't know anyone who thinks, like, oh, I need to watch what's on Amazon Prime.
Right.
Like, you know, Mrs. Maisel, like, you watch. I've been struggling to get through the second season of Jack Ryan.
I went through that pretty
quickly. Not because it's not good, just because there's so much other stuff I want to watch. Okay.
No, I know that feeling. Right.
And then you have this. There's a few other things on there that
The Boys.
The Boys. Thank you. That's what I was thinking. The Boys, The Tick.
I will tell you one real quick is it's only 20 minutes long, is Undone.
Okay.
And it's like, if you know, remember that movie A Scanner Darkly?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
that.
Yeah. So
that show, that's one of, and again, I had never heard of it until about 2 days before it came on, and it's been on for a couple months. It's only 28 episodes, 20 minutes long.
Okay.
The woman that plays Alita Battle Angel, she's the main character, and it has to do with some trippy time travel.
I watched that on a plane.
What, Alita?
Yeah.
What? Rosa Salazar.
I have thoughts on that.
Okay. I love that movie.
Later.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So we're a little over an hour here. Any last words about The Expanse?
Watch it. It's incredible. Like, narrative, characters, the scope, the art direction, cinematography, all of that stuff is good. Just give it a chance. Sit down one weekend, watch a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
Absolutely. You know, it's won a bunch of awards like Hugo, Best Dramatic Presentation, Saturn Award, Best Science Fiction Television. Alcorn Entertainment produces this and finances the series. Sci-Fi was really stupid for canceling this, but I'm really glad they did. Because Amazon is really interested in having...
I think Bezos is like a huge fan of the show.
And then just on a side note, the fourth season comes out on December 13th. And
I think the fifth season
has already been greenlit.
Okay,
so,
right.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's not one of these things where it's like, okay, well, I have to worry about the show getting canceled every year now.
No.
I think there is definitely a run that they have in mind. There's 9 novels. So
right.
There's 8 novels. The 9th one comes out in 2020.
Right.
So.
And several novella/short stories that really beef it up.
So James S.A. Corey is the joint pen name of Daniel Abraham and Ty Franek.
Right.
Just FYI. All right. Cool. Hey, dude, thanks for filling in.
Oh, it's fun. Like, all 3 topics.
Yeah.
Loved. That's the Mandalorian, Titans.
Yeah.
And The Expanse. That's kind of how it went.
I would say love, hesitantly interested, mm-hmm. and love. So, you know, I kind of watched Titans more because when I was in Turkey, it was like one of the few things on Netflix over there that I hadn't seen. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna start watching this. And then I got home and it's like, crap, I just kind of want to see what happens now, and season 2 is happening, and thus we struck our deal.
Right.
So but cool. All right, where can they find you online?
Pretty much on Instagram, djasper07. I'll probably have that changed pretty soon, but
you're always changing it.
No, I never change.
But you have the other one, that Dow of Geek.
Yeah, and that's what I'm probably going to change it to.
Oh, okay.
So, because again, Twitter, not a fan of Twitter anymore. Haven't been for a long time. So I'm pretty much on Instagram.
Okay. Oh, okay. 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 So, speaking of Twitter, based on The Mandalorian, I started a new account. It's called Camtano of Beskar. So at Camtano of Beskar. So go look at that and follow it. there's only 2 things up there right now, but there's definitely more to come. And I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
I actually might have to follow that now.
Yeah. So, I'm going to have a lot of fun with Photoshop. So, all right. On that note, thank you for listening. I will be back next week with Johnny to talk about his trip to Galaxy's Edge. And hopefully we'll talk about, we won't, because the next episode of The Mandalorian won't be out yet. But yeah, so we'll probably talk all about his trip to Disney and all that fun stuff. So yeah, great. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Had a lot of fun.
Join Daryl as a patron.
Join me.
If you,
it is the only way.
Did I give you a shirt yet?
Oh, that's what I forgot.
Nice. You're wearing your shirt.
I completely forgot about that.
So I, like one of for one of the categories, like you can pick any of the, I think we have 5 shirts now from Flying Pork Apparel. So yeah, if you follow, you'll be able to get a shirt. So and they're awesome. And I just ordered a bunch of new like swag. I'm actually gonna start follow us on Instagram. I'm gonna start doing some giveaways with stickers and stuff. I have a ton of swag that is really cool from Sticker Mule that I need to start sending out to people. So, all right, cool. On that note, we'll see you next week.
Peace out.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.